The 2021 season is officially in the books. The Los Angeles Rams defeating the Cincinnati Bengals to win Super Bowl 56. On today's Locked On 49ers, why it was a good thing that the Rams won the Super Bowl. Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at DB Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. This episode of Locked On 49ers brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And when they say this season, they mean the 2022 season, Croc, because do you know what time it is? It's draft season. It is draft season.
Draft season.
49ers. For the Rams, for the Bengals, for all 32 teams in the NFL. But we got to talk about this Super Bowl. And I said at the open why it's a good thing for the 49ers. I love this. I love there being competition in the West. I think the McVay-Shanahan competition. I think this win for the Rams, not only over the Niners in the NFC Championship game, but winning the Super Bowl, I think that's going to push Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to be more competitive. I think they're going to start matching blows in the offseason. They said, okay, you went all in last season trying to build this mega team. Well, watch what we can build around our young superstar quarterback in Trey Lance, right? Because they're going to have some money to spend. The cap goes up in 2023. Not only can they do some things with their own players, and they've drafted and developed some stars. Debo and Bosa are up next. But I wonder if there's maybe some bigger fish out there. I wonder if the 49ers might say, okay, we're going to go make some big moves, bigger moves than maybe you and I expect, Croc, after this, because the narratives, those nasty narratives, Croc, because Kyle can't win the big one. Sean McVay wasn't good in the Super Bowl. Stafford threw two interceptions. They were guys who couldn't win the big game, and they won despite lackluster performance. Kyle needs to change that narrative and go win a Super Bowl. Do you think they get aggressive right now? Because I think it's good for the rivalry. You have the, you know, the LA San Francisco rivalry. I think both teams being good and having these big games, you would like the 49ers to have won this NFC Championship game and maybe be hoisting the Lombardi right now if they would have beaten the Rams. But I think it's good. I think it's good for the 49ers. Get that competitive juice flowing in the NFC West.
You know, I think the 49ers, a lot of times they take more of a conservative approach with the offseason, but you know, what would a big splash be in free agency? I think my mind goes straight to the defensive side of the ball. Like, they are going to spend a bunch of money on one position. It would be on defense. I think for the most part, the offense is pretty set. You know, obviously I feel like you can add like a more dynamic third receiver, somebody, you know, more of a field stretcher, things like that. Maybe a second running back that can give you more so you don't have to, you know, rely on Debo Samuel being a wide back. But I think it's the defensive side of the ball where, you know, you can make a splash on multiple positions, whether it's safety position, cornerback position, edge rushing position. I feel like at those three levels, you can say, you know what, we're going to go all in and spend $16 million a year on one player. We'll see if they do it. They've been more conservative with how they build the team, but that's one thing I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, maybe a short-term deal, because we focus so much on Bosa. Bosa's not due for a while. Bosa's not going to be due until like 2023. You can go pay Stephon Gilmore for a couple years, and it won't affect Bosa's contract, because the first year of Bosa's new deal will probably be, it'll probably be a backloaded contract, and there'll be more money on the end and signing bonus, so it'll keep the first year down, and he's still going into year four. So he's got year four, then he's got the year five deal. Maybe you do a deal before the year five the fifth year option is picked up by the 49ers, but there's a ton of potential for the 49ers to structure things to where they could make a splash. Stephon Gilmore might make some sense in that regard. Maybe
that's the one for me where people are like, oh, he's going to cost a good amount of money. But you know, for him, you know, a 1 year deal where you pay him $14 million for the season and have him come in and be that kind of X factor, the guy that you can have
shadow Cooper guys.
Yeah. Now, my big thing has always been my big thing has always been more the conservative approach of, well, if you feel like Ambry Thomas is a starting caliber cornerback, then you let him kind of play through, and you go into the season maybe bringing in a lower price free agent or maybe, you know, bringing in a late round draft pick to kind of compete with him for a starting spot. But if you are Kyle Shanahan, it's like, now I want to go more aggressive. I want to go big here. I think Stephon Gilmore is a guy that you would bring in, a guy that played half the season and still had a Pro Bowl season. Now, I know you don't care too much about the Pro Bowl, but just, you know, he's still a guy. He still plays well. He still does really good things. He is someone where if you're going to make that splash, I think that is a position the 49ers can definitely upgrade at, and it could be a guy like Stephon Gilmore.
Are you surprised, A, that Stafford threw two interceptions, the Rams still won? Are you surprised, B, that Cooper Kupp, with his two touchdown receptions, was MVP of the game and not Aaron Donald? And C, are you surprised of this talk about Aaron Donald suddenly thinking about retirement? Diana Rossini after the game, because this is the first I've heard of it. Before the game, I had to go back on the and rewind the live feed of the game and say, did they just say Aaron Donald, or were they talking about like Whitworth or somebody retiring after the game? It's like, no, they said Aaron Donald might be thinking about retiring if he wins the Super Bowl. What? Diana Rossini after the game caught up with Aaron Donald. She said, Aaron Donald just told me he's going to take some time before he makes a decision if he's going to retire or not. He wants to just be in the moment here. Aaron Donald retirement? What the heck? And did he get snubbed for an MVP in this game?
So we'll start with, because you asked a couple of questions there. Am I surprised that they were able to win despite Matthew Stafford throwing multiple interceptions? I would say no, because when you see the impact that Aaron Donald and even other guys like Von Miller and Floyd and some of these guys had coming off the edge and how they really disrupted the Bengals for most of the night, I could see a scenario where they still win the game despite the offense kind of being a little lackluster, not being able to run the ball at all. Cooper Kupp had a good game, not a spectacular game, aside from obviously you see the two touchdowns, which kind of leads me to kind of your last point, or one of your second point, Aaron Donald. I did think he was the MVP of the game. Obviously, he had multiple sacks. On top of that, you know, huge run stops down the stretch. Obviously, the quarterback pressure to end the game that solidified it for the LA Rams. I just think the impact of him, and there will be some people, I saw some people in my comments, oh, he only played a quarter and a half. No, like, you can freeze shot some clips of him getting double teamed, triple teamed, like, all night long. So he doesn't play with the same set of rules as other guys. He's not getting just the one-on-one blocks throughout games. So I think sometimes it's hard to kind of feel his impact on a play-to-play basis. But when it comes, it comes. And you saw him, multiple sacks, big rundown stops late in the game, pressures late in the game. Does all those things, I think, at a terrific level. I definitely think he should have been Super Bowl MVP. Now, as far as him retiring, I heard a little bit of something about it before the game. I think it was Harrison, the safety, Rodney Harrison. He brought it up saying that he had heard, or maybe he had spoke with Aaron Donald about potentially retiring if they go out on top and win the Super Bowl. So they won, and we'll see what he does, but I get it. You know, a lot of these guys, they wait and they play these long careers and they end up being all beat up and kind of brittle and, you know, having all these long-term issues, can't really walk, fingers all messed up. And a guy like Aaron Donald, he doesn't have anything else to prove. He's made a ton of money, first and foremost. And unless he just was really bad with his money, he's good there. Aside from that, we're talking about multiple defensive MVP awards the entire league. You know, now he has the Super Bowl to back it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Even if he walks away from the game right now, if he says right now I retire, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer in 5 years. So, yeah, I could see a scenario where he walks out on his own, you know, by his own choice and power, and says, you know what, I had a great career, it was fun, and I'm out of here. And I think that's the best way to go out, when you feel good. And, you know, you don't have to spend those long days in meeting rooms and working out and preparing for the season and all those things. You get to just kind of relax and enjoy everything that maybe LA has to offer.
And we might start to see more of that, too, because this is the first time in history that two teams have played. Is their 21st game for both these teams, because neither one had a playoff bye either. So they went through the entire 18-week season. They played a grueling playoff schedule as well. This is the latest a season has ever ended on February 13th. So this is grueling.
And 22 games.
22. 21 yeah. in 20
18 regular season.
No, 18 weeks, 19 games.
Oh, yeah, I'm tripping.
18 weeks, 17 games, plus four playoff games. But then there's the bye week in the regular season, bye week in the playoffs. So
yeah, okay.
23-week-long season. But 21 games, and these are the first players who have ever done that. Plus preseason games? That's grueling. I'm not surprised at all that these guys are drained physically and mentally. Makes you wonder on that turf. You see a couple of injuries like Odell Beckham and Joe Burrow. The Burrow injury, by the way, that's part of the reason why I feel like, man, Donald's kind of got to be MVP of this game because he changes the way that the Bengals have to block up front, and that singles up Von Miller to go get a sack that injures Joe Burrow, right? And two sacks for Miller, two sacks for Donald, even after so much attention is paid to him in this game, and he had the game-sealing play. As soon as he sealed it, I thought for sure it was going to go to Donald, but it ended up going to Cooper Kupp. Whatever. They all deserve it. They're the champions of the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams. Let's talk more about what this means for the 49ers. Looking ahead for the 49ers, got some Twitter questions here as well on this last podcast covering the 2021 season until we really go deep into 2022 offseason mode on Tuesday's episode. Built Bar. You bought a box of Built Bars yet? Croc likes the cookies and cream. I'm a peanut butter guy. There's new flavors.
I really like the Puffs.
Okay.
And if y'all out there have not tried the Puffs, you have to try the Built Bar Puffs. Gosh, what flavor? Banana cream pie. I think that's the one I had.
Yeah, there's
amazing.
There's churro puff, coconut marshmallow puff, and banana cream pie puff. And one of the puffs
I had banana cream pie out in Mobile, Alabama. Shout out to Ross Jackson. He had a bunch of Built Bars out there. I had the puffs, and I was like, wow. Everything that we talk about with how good they are on this show, they were as good as advertised.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Ross Jackson. He does so much for the network. Also, the host of Locked On Saints. Also, I'm in my Locked On hat, my Locked On shirt. I want to say shout out to the Locked On crew who were in L.A. this whole week covering the Super Bowl. Locked On Rams, Locked On Bengals crew, Locked On NFL crew. Ross was there. They all did an awesome job. So shout out to them. And Ross is a great dude. And he's one to go to if you need Built Bars. If you want to know if you've done your gumbo correctly, he made fun of the gumbo I made one time, which is okay because it was delicious, but it was a little too saucy, a little too soupy, I think, for Ross's taste. But go to built.com. You can find those marshmallowy puffs, Built Bar puffs that are delicious. They're a treat. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, as are most Built Bars. And most Built Bars contain only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein to keep you going. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Croc, do you think, we talked a little bit about it, how it's a good thing. Maybe it pressures the 49ers to do a little bit more. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the Stafford trade already pressured the 49ers to do a little bit more as it pertained to trading up for a quarterback in the draft last year. But Ryan on Twitter asked, so how frequent are super teams going to be now? Are we going to start to skew back? Because it's been all about salary cap and building organically through the draft and cheap talent. Are we starting to go back to those mid-90s Cowboys, 49ers, Packers teams? And are the 49ers in a position right now where they've got to swing back and have a haymaker of an offseason? And are super teams going to officially be a thing now?
I think the 49ers have done a good job of taking swings. And I feel like their aggressive moves kind of get overlooked because maybe it's not the aggressive move that maybe fans think they should do or other people. But I remember, one, trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that was a move of, hey, we're trying to get right at a certain position and get better there, which it kind of proved. When he was healthy, they were able to win a lot of games there. All right, another one. They started off the season, 7-0, 8-0 in 2019. What they do, they didn't just sit on that. They said, you know what, let's go out and get a receiver that's going to help us get better. They looked in the Sanu. They ended up bringing in Emmanuel Sanders. I think he made a big impact, and not just in that season, but just for some of the guys around him, guys like Deebo Samuel. I think he benefited from that. Kendrick Bourne, he ended up getting paid a big contract the year after. Trading for Trent Williams. And then, like you said, kind of the big trade with with you know, getting Trey Lance and getting that type of premium athlete and ability at the position. So I feel like they have made aggressive moves, but maybe it's not just a splashy one that some of the fans did. But I mean, how big of a trade was that for Trent Williams? I mean, that's a guy who could arguably be the best offensive player in the NFL right now.
It's pretty telling. It's pretty telling that Kyle Shanahan's mind goes to trading for Trent Williams. Sean McVay's mind goes to trading for Stafford, Odell Beckham. Very different strategies there. And they're also like, McVay doesn't even employ a fullback. Kyle Shanahan's like, I need the best fullback in the NFL. Bring him to me. We'll pay him twice as much as the next fullback. I don't care. It's very different, right? The divergence from those guys who once were on the same staff together, were on the same offense.
Which one do you like? Which one do you like more? Because there's one that they lean heavy on 11 personnel. The other one leans heavy on, 21 and 12.
They could both learn from each other a little bit, right?
Rams couldn't run tonight. That run offense was stinky. At one point, it was like 18 carries for like 29 yards. I was like, oh my goodness, not ideal.
The Rams legitimately had one successful run tonight, and they won the Super Bowl. It came in the fourth quarter. It came in a pretty big drive there, the game-winning drive for the Rams. The Rams before that, this is from Next Gen Stats. This is before the one carry from Cam Akers where he had that first down run. He had a nice little like 8-yard run or whatever it was late in the fourth quarter. The Rams have had zero successful carries on 18 carries. One of four teams to post a 0% rushing success rate in a game over the last six seasons, according to Next Gen Stats. The other three teams to do it all had single-digit carries in those games. The Rams did it on 18 carries to that point. I think they had a couple of more unsuccessful carries before the one successful carry. Let's see what the numbers were overall for the Rams run game. So yeah, 13 carries for 21 yards for Cam Akers. More than a third of his yards, almost half his yards came on that 1 8-yard run in the fourth quarter. Cooper Kupp had that was actually a nice play call from McVay there on the Kupp end around or jet sweep, whatever the hell you call it. 7-yard carry there for a first down late in the game. Henderson had 4 carries for 7 yards. Michelle had 2 carries for 2 yards. I mean, they could not run the football, period. They had literally two successful runs, counting the Kupp run, one successful run from their running back all game, and they won the Super Bowl.
Crazy.
Do fullbacks matter? You won the Super Bowl with two successful carries in an entire game. That game was eerily similar to the NFC Championship game too, right? 2017 against the Niners, 23-20 in this game. It felt very similar to the NFC Championship game, and the Rams won both of those.
They did. They had to win ugly. And at the end of the day, all that matters is that you won the game. And Matthew Stafford, you know, who was in hell out there in Detroit, goes to L.A., they trade for him, and he won. Now, again, not the most ideal, but I'd say he started off really hot. His game against Arizona was terrific, high efficiency, didn't have to throw a ton of passes, had to really kind of pull a big game kind of out of his ass against Tampa Bay, a game they were kind of really blowing the team out. And then all of a sudden, wow, I have to make some big-time throws down the stretch. He did. And, then, you know, one thing that will kind of get overlooked, because his numbers weren't pretty, but I did feel like in both games, the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, when he needed to make those throws, he made them. And that's, to me, that's what matters kind of most, when it's like, you know what, Joe Burrow, Jimmy Garoppolo, they struggled to stop the bleeding, right? They struggled to put the team away. And I feel like they had several opportunities. Now, for different reasons, maybe both of them is because of, well, they are playing against a good defensive line. And we saw the impact that the Rams defensive line had on both teams, the 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals. But you gotta make a play. I'm always gonna go back to that, and I'm always gonna put that on the quarterback, because they touch the ball every single snap. It's on them to make the right decision, the right throw, the right play. And it's not easy. It's not easy winning a championship. But when the Rams' back was against the wall and they needed some big time throws and some big time flags going their way, but when they needed those throws, they got it. Those flags, man. At the end, the last one was yeah, but that one on the linebacker on third down. And the crazy thing is, a lot of people got my tweets confused, because on second down, it was I thought it was PI on the linebacker. So I had tweeted that out, like, man, you know, I love defending linebackers, but or defensive players, but man, that was PI on that linebacker. But then the very next play, it was a terrible PI call on the linebacker, or they call holding. And everybody's like, man, that was a bad call. How can you say that? I'm like, no, I was talking about the play before.
And maybe a bit of a makeup call, because if they would have called the face mask penalty on the touchdown to T. Higgins, then, you know, so maybe a makeup call. So it went both ways. It was just, it felt like the one play was more magnified with the Luke Wilson, the Bengals linebacker. I thought he played it well, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about it because I thought that was a bad call. Then it was the next play or whatever it was. It was definitely PI, and I thought that was a good call. But it was weird to see no flags the entire game, no holding. And we've gone through this, right, with the 49ers in the Super Bowl. The refs, their flags are like sewn into their pockets. They don't throw flags. And all of a sudden, there was like four flags in a row. It was like, what the hell? Where did that come from? And I don't know, but you can't – I don't think you can blame it on that, because the Bengals got a touchdown on a play that should have been an offensive pass interference.
Right.
It wasn't.
And not just that. The Bengals had several opportunities. I mean, throughout the game, they could not. They had 10 – they scored basically 10 points in the first 45 seconds of the second half and didn't score again. Mm-mm. They had the big play touchdown, then the field goal, and then that's it. So for the rest of the game, I mean, just punt. Like, you got to do something. You get a field goal, even that a field goal just the rest of the game, like for the last 13 minutes of the second half, can you get 3 points? And they couldn't do it.
I want to talk about a few plays. I thought this was not the greatest game coached offensively. Much better coached defensively. Is that a personnel thing? And my bias is watching a game where the defense played better than the offense, and so I'm calling it play calling. But I want to shout out a couple of coaches here, a couple of Rams coaches, and I want to talk about a call that Zach Taylor made late in the game, and I want to talk about the playing surface as well, and we'll see if we can get to a couple more questions and finish up this Monday episode, this final episode of the 2021 season, talking about Super Bowl 56 next. And now that the football season is over, there's still basketball, there's still college and pro hoops, there's UFC, there's tons of things. Hopefully baseball season gets going. Tons of odds, totals, player performance props that you can find. Maybe the next fired coach. NFL draft props at betonline.net, the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, news, and all kinds of odds and betting this season. And of course, it's not just basketball and football. And look, I love betting on the draft. It's the easiest money there is, because there's some bad information out there. Croc, you know what I'm talking about. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage and information. So head over to the website today, mobile or desktop. I prefer the mobile device. Both are updated at betonline.net, and you can learn more about the trends and action and make your bets from desktop or mobile. BetOnline, where the game starts. Croc, two things. I absolutely, absolutely hated. Well, I've talked about this before with Kyle. He's done this a few times. They started the game going empty. The Bengals did. Empty backfield, which was like, okay, they're going empty. Let's see what happens. Or no, and the Rams too, right? Didn't they both start empty?
I know the Bengals did for sure. Yeah. I don't know about the Rams.
No, the Rams. No, the Rams went run heavy at the beginning. That's right. That was the surprising part of the Rams offense. It was like, you've got Kupp, you've got Odell, you've got Matthew Stafford, and they ran like 6 of 7 plays to start the game with no success at all. The one drop back they had, they tried to make a big shot play and they got sacked. But the Bengals went empty to start the game, which is whatever. But they went empty later in the red zone, which I didn't love. And then they went empty, which I really for sure hated. They went empty after Joe Burrow's injury, after they were running the ball pretty well with Mixon on that like third and seven or whatever it was. Everybody in 70,000 people in the stadium, me at home, you at home, both of us, by the way, spent some time in Stockton, California today. You can tell Croc's not at his normal studio right now. Shout out to Northern California if you all are there. Everybody on planet Earth watching that football game knew that they're not going to run the ball because guess what? There's no running back. Joe Burrow's hurt. I can throw it past the sticks. So what are they going to do? They're going to throw some quick, short pass right in front of the sticks. This is exactly what they did. Got tackled. End of drive. Like that drives me tough. Crazy. How can you go empty backfield when your quarterback's hurt and everybody in the world knows you're not going to chuck it deep? You're not going to risk getting him hit again by a pass rush, and you have no threat of a running back to run the football there. I hate that call. You got to call something with a running back, at least in the backfield. Play action, whatever it is you have to do on third down, even if you don't want to run it, you have to have that threat, and maybe it opens up something else. But that was the worst play call of the game, in my opinion.
That's extremely difficult, especially like you said, on the quarterback that's a little wounded with his ankle. And I mean, it looked bad, you know, the ankle injury, knee, whatever, it looked like he hurt everything. I don't know, but just knowing your offensive line is already at a disadvantage, you know, they can't protect. They can't protect, save their lives. They haven't been able to protect all season. He got sacked 9 times against Tennessee in a wild card round. Like, they can't protect him. So don't just go empty to where Aaron Donald and all those guys look and say, there's no running back there. It's got to be a pass. Let me pin my ears back and I'll just get after him. You know, that's not
And as not a defensive back, you know that you're just playing the sticks because he's going to come out quick and it's going to be a quick game. So you don't have to worry about anything behind you. You can just play free. There's no run support. You know, you don't have to have your eyes anywhere if you're a safety because there's no threat of a play action. There's no threat of a run. There's no threat of a running back coming out of the backfield on a pass play. You can just sit there and put your heels in the turf and say, okay, I'm going to come up and make a tackle because they're going to throw short of the sticks. And it just made it way too easy on the Rams defense. I do want to shout out, though, Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris, who I gave a game ball, and some listeners did not like it. I gave him a game ball after the NFC Championship game. I think he deserves another game ball after this game. And we talked about Kupp and Donald. I think maybe Raheem Morris should be the MVP of this game. I think he was really important to the Rams winning this Super Bowl. So I just wanted to shout him.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job. He's got to be getting D'Amico and Raheem Morris would probably be my first two candidates right now in the next hiring cycle to get a head coach job. Those guys have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and, I mean, he did that with – Jalen Ramsey not having his best performance. You know, gave it the now. Listen, okay, hold on. Everybody Jalen wants to Ramsey talk about
trash croc. Jalen number 5 is trash. He's cooked. He's done.
Everyone is crazy. It's impossible to play defensive back. It's impossible. The fans, the way they view it, the way that the NFL wants to call it, the way everything is skewed towards offense. Even the way people's minds are trained to think. So when Jalen Ramsey nearly picks off a pass on a goal line, but has like a slight tug of a jersey, oh, well, they should have called holding. It's terrible. Should have called holding, right? Like, oh, they big missed call. And it's like barely touches the guy's jersey. It's not even a jersey. It's just a little white, little extra T-shirt. He grabs a little bit of T-shirt, barely any, and people want to give him a hard time for that. But then on the big play, a 75-yard touchdown, he gets mugged and thrown down to the ground by his face mask as a receiver is going up to catch a pass, and he's trash. Now he's trash. So you want to the slightest tug of a undershirt, that's a holding and a terrible missed call, but a guy that gets thrown down by his face mask and gives up a big play is like, oh, he's terrible. I don't like him. He's trash. He's garbage. He's overrated in everything. Like everything that they can say about Jalen Ramsey, they said it in that moment, man. And that's tough. But even then, I would say to his standards, I'm pretty sure he'd tell you, not my best performance. Glad he walked away with the win. But even then, Raheem Morris was able to, you know, call a terrific game.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this as a defensive back. Do you think that, first of all, having a T-shirt sticking out is sloppy to me? I don't think it should count as part of the uniform. If the T-shirt's sticking out, you should be able to grab it, in my opinion. It should be a penalty for having your T-shirt sticking out in the first place.
I definitely wore the T-shirt hanging out a little bit, but I agree in the sense of you tug on that, whatever. That's your fault for having extra stuff hanging around.
Here's another one for you. What about the hair? Which you also had.
I had the hair, but I played defense, so I never got pulled down by my hair or anything like that. they say it's part of the jersey. So if your hair gets tugged or pulled to make a tackle or to kind of, you know, they view it just as you would a jersey. That's tough, man, because you pull somebody's dreads. It's like, oh, that hurts.
It doesn't seem right, but at the same time.
Some guys braid it, though. Look at Derrick Henry. Even though I think it's super ugly, what he has, it looks like a long, like, poop.
It looks like a tape.
Yeah, he braids his dreads, so.
That'd be hard to grab. It's too thick to grab, and it's probably substantial, so it wouldn't do much. You would just go along for the ride. How about this? How about this? Those injuries to Odell and Joe Burrow, hey, if Joe Burrow doesn't get hurt, did the Bengals win the Super Bowl? They might have.
I don't know.
They couldn't make a play. But how about this? This is timely. This is from George Kittle 2 days ago. He's it's with Pennington Lawn. Shout out Pennington Lawn. It's change.org/flip the turf is the website if you guys want to go sign this. But George Kittle, 2 days ago, timely, says, I don't like artificial turf. I love grass. This is on Twitter. It's better for my body, our team performance, and the planet. Help us flip the turf by signing the petition. change.org/flip the turf with Pennington Lawn. George Kittle wants to play on natural grass. The carport. There's enough sun there to grow some grass, right, Croc? Why they got artificial turf in LA? Every time there's a non-contact knee injury like Odell's or a player's leg, look, the 49ers went through this in New York in week two of 2020 and lost a bunch of dudes on that turf. And the Nick Bosa torn ACL in 2020, very similar to Joe Burrow's, where, you know, the leg just kind of gets caught underneath you. If it's real grass, there's some give there. Maybe your foot slides out, or maybe it moves enough to where your knee doesn't take the entire brunt of the entire play. And look, there's going to be injuries on natural grass too, but we're at the point technology wise and with some of these stadiums, you're going to build a brand new stadium that gets plenty of sunshine in Los Angeles and have turf. I don't like it.
Yeah. Now here's the tough thing with some of these indoors. How do they get turf? I mean, how do they get natural grass in there? Now, Arizona, which I believe the Super Bowl is being played there next year, their field slides in and out. So it goes outside, they water it, it gets sunshine, it gets all the nurturing that it needs, and then they slide it inside for game day. But how do you do that for a team like, say, the New Orleans Saints, who have artificial turf and they have a dome? Can you just magically fix that and artificially grow grass indoors? You can grow weed indoors. I'm pretty sure you can figure out how to grow grass indoors.
You can make some really nice hydroponic grass indoors, probably in some of these like black light stadiums. And but it's like old domes that have been around. There's not much you can do about it. Las Vegas has that turf where you pull it out. It's like a drawer with the turf on it. They slide it back in so it gets, you know, it's outdoors when they need it to be grass that's growing and they can slide it back in for game day. But that's kind of the thing. You're going to build a brand new state-of-the-art $5 billion stadium and not have a way to put grass in there. That's what I don't like. You're building a new stadium, it better have grass in it. If you got an old dome built in like 1984, whatever, I understand why it'd be turf. But like, do you remember that? The worst one was the old Philadelphia stadium, where it was like they throw like a half inch of carpet on concrete. It's crazy.
Well, and before it was legit carpet. That's what those guys were playing on.
And like you could see like bumps in it. I saw a camera view on
artificial grass.
It was like there's bumps that you could see, and then there would be times when there was like seams in the turf that would, like, I can't believe they played on that crap. There was a receiver.
The artificial grass. When did they start using that? Because that wasn't even. I remember even in Stockton, they didn't have Lincoln. Lincoln was the first one with the artificial turf in Stockton, and that was my junior year of high school. We were actually supposed to play at home, and we played there just to be able to play on the artificial turf. So, you know, artificial turf isn't something that's been around for a long time. I mean, obviously, my junior high school. That's what, 2003, like, heading, you know. Like that football season was 2003. So I guess kind of a long time, but not really in the sense of what they used to play on before that, which was like Arena Football League turf, like carpet.
Carpet, yeah, like Astrodome turf, where like you hit a ground ball in the Astrodome.
You wear sneakers.
It would just roll all the way to the fence. They didn't stop. They just kept rolling.
You wear sneakers on that.
Yeah. Now they do a pretty good job with the fake turf, but still, brand new multi-billion dollar stadium. Throw some grass in that bad boy. All right, we got to get out of here, Croc. We're over time. We've got some very important things to talk about later on this week. Like, and Croc needs some rest.
I got to be up at what? I got to be up at like 4:45. I'm flying out tomorrow morning, like 6:30. So 6:30 a.m.
We got to talk about BY. The 49ers family, a brand new Hall of Famer. We'll get in that tomorrow. I think there's some very good news as it pertains to negotiating Jimmy Garoppolo's trade. I think the 49ers are in an advantageous situation. We'll get to those things coming up. We got a Winky Wednesday coming up this week. More draft stuff, more free agency stuff. It is officially off-season time for 2022. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. For your second listen, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. You can listen to Locked On Bets here on the network, which is your boy Q Myers, Lee Sterling, expert analysis of the entire betting world. And no matter the sport, not just football, we've got basketball, hockey, college, baseball podcasts. Your team is covered right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Croc and I back tomorrow right here. Locked On 49ers.